My name is Donovan Brown. I am a senior DevOps program manager at Microsoft. I am extremely honored that I was asked to come and share with you the improvements and the investments that we've made in mobile DevOps. Now, DevOps, this is DevOps to us at Microsoft. It is the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to our end users. Continuously delivering value. Scott just showed you some of that with C# 7 and what we're doing with our compilers. We're constantly trying to deliver value. We do this every day at Microsoft, and we're helping our customers do the exact same thing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus specifically on mobile, because we've done a great job with DevOps everywhere else. Now, what are we going to do with mobile that's different from normal DevOps? If you've ever done mobile development, you know that there's a lot of challenges there that are unique to mobile. The number of devices that you need. No one will ever own all the devices upon which their application will run, ever. Nor should you try to, because as soon as you buy it, it's outdated, you gotta go buy another one. So let's put that on someone else. Let someone else have to get all the devices for me. And we're gonna help you with that as well. How about developing the application? I've been a developer for 20 years. I'm a lot older than I look, right? But I know C# really, really well. I did not want to learn Java. And trust me, nobody wants to learn Objective-C. So when mobile came out, I kind of drugged my feet. I was like, nah, I don't want to have to buy a Mac. I don't want to have to learn Xcode. I don't want to have to learn Android Studio. I'll wait. I'm sure someone will figure this out. Xamarin figured this out. They said, why don't we use the best IDE in the world? No one can argue Visual Studio is just cold-blooded. That is the baddest IDE ever written. That's where I want to code. C#, it's one of the coolest languages. I came from C, so it was natural for me. I went C, C++, naturally I went to C#. That's where I want to program in, not three different languages, right? We got to be able to do this in a continuous delivery of value. Luckily, Visual Studio Team Services and Team Foundation Server, they give you the facilities that you need to continuously deliver value to your end users. And we can do that for mobile as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start showing you demo after demo after demo of really cool stuff. If you like it, let me know. Because if you don't let me know that you like it, I'm going to cut it out of the feature set. So I suggest you be alert. And when you see something you like, you let me feel that you like it. All right, so where are we going to start? Before you can even start developing, you have to learn a new API. Learning a new API can be really, really exciting, right? Because it's like a superpower. I'm learning something new that I can then go use to make my applications unique, powerful, and engaging to my customers. But learning a new API, that can be very painful as well. Why? First, I start searching on the internet, looking for samples, walkthroughs, and blog posts. Static content that I have to read, muddle through, and hopefully figure out what's going on. And if it's good content, what I'll probably attempt to do is copy and paste it from the documentation into a program somewhere. But if I copy and paste it incorrectly, I spend more time troubleshooting the fact that I left off a semicolon or troubleshooting that I left off a curly brace in my copy and paste than I do learning the API itself. Documentation doesn't need to be static. Documentation, well, it needs to be alive. Right? The documentation needs to come to life. I need to be able to use the sample immediately, not after copying and pasting it, not after creating another program. How many test programs do you have on your computer right now trying to learn an API? Right? 90% of my programs are test number one, test number two, test number three, where I copy and paste code out of it. But what I want to be able to do is read the document and have it kind of speak to me, literally come to life. So what I'm going to show you my first demo here is that our team at Xamarin, and I'm so glad that they're now part of the family that we have here at Microsoft. Let me go ahead and show my desktop here. They thought to themselves, how cool would it be if, in fact, we could actually do that? If our documentation literally came to life. So on the left-hand side, what we have here is just documentation that teaches me how to add animation to an Android device, right? Which is something that we'd like to be able to do. Now, if you look at it, it looks like normal documentation. It tells you what usings you need, what assemblies you need. And this is stuff that I would normally mess up. I'd copy the paste and code. I get all these squigglies because I don't have the right using. then I have to go add the using, and then go add a NuGet package. And then it's just a nightmare. But this document is actually alive. And I'll show you what I mean by that. Over on the right-hand side here is an emulator who is actually running and reading this documentation with me. So if I were to go down here, for example, let's not find something simple. Here, this is where it's teaching me how to change the color. Let me go here and just try to change the color. This document is alive. And I don't mean just letting me change the color of a word. Let's go down and do something a little bit more fun, because this is supposed to be teaching me animation. So let's get down here to the animation section. Now, there are some benefits to using an IDE. You get code completion, you get IntelliSense, you get error tracking, right? So it'd be too much for us to ask that the documentation could do that too. So let's not kid ourselves here, but it can do some cool stuff. It can do stuff like auto-completion. It can do stuff like, I don't know, IntelliSense. So all the stuff that I'd expect to get from my IDE, I can actually get right here inside of my documentation. So what I'm gonna do here is I'm just gonna go ahead and set my rotation to 90 degrees. But I'm gonna animate this. So what I'm gonna do one more time is I'm gonna come down here, and let's say I wanna do rotation, and I wanna set it to 0, and I wanna do this over 1.4 seconds. But I'm gonna show you something else. This is really cool here. I'm gonna make a mistake. The documentation is literally telling me, I'm trying to help you learn, but you've made a mistake. So let me help you actually learn this without ever copying and pasting a single line of code, without ever firing up an IDE, and let's go ahead and figure out if we can animate this. So one more time, watch the screen. This is me learning by a documentation that makes it an immersive environment for me. I did not copy and paste a single line of code. Every error I made, it told me immediately. And this document is teaching me how to use my code. We have reimagined how you're gonna learn, right? This isn't how you're gonna develop. This is literally how you're going to learn has now been changed by what we're doing here at Microsoft. All right, so that's how we're gonna learn an API. Next thing we gotta do is figure out how in the world we're gonna use this API. So mobile development, I've already told you the pain points. It's 3 different languages, targeting 3 different platforms. It's very, very difficult. You gotta use 3 different IDEs. And come on, I love Visual Studio. I've literally been using it. I'll tell you how to date myself here real quick. I went to a store and literally bought a box that had my compiler in it. Yes, that's how old I am. It was C++ 1.52. I bet half of you in here have never gone to the store and bought a box of software before and gone home and shoved in CDs and shoved in floppy disks until the application was confirmed. But that's how long I've been doing this. But it's always been Visual Studio in some flavor, right? That's where I know, it's where I professionally have grown up. Now, what we're gonna be able to do is now use one single language. And we have a couple options here. Let me be perfectly honest. I'm obviously biased towards Xamarin. They are now part of the Visual Studio family. But if you are an HTML developer and you know JavaScript and HTML5 and CSS, don't think that you cannot program with one code base and reach all 3 platforms. We have incredible integrations with Cordova. Cordova allows the web developer to become a mobile developer. What Xamarin does is allows the .NET developer to instantly become a mobile developer. So I want you to make sure that you understand that we have you covered regardless if you're web or regardless if you're .NET. Same thing with testing. Xamarin has a test cloud, which I will show you. But we have an amazing partnership with a company called Perfecto Mobile. And I'm gonna show you their product as well. I work for Microsoft, but my goal is that my customers be successful. Doesn't matter if they use our product or someone else's. You're my customer, and I want you to be successful. So if that means you use Xamarin Test Cloud, great. If that means you use Perfecto Mobile instead, that is great, because they all integrate with us here at Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services. So let's see what we can do here when it comes to a development here as well. So what I'm gonna do is bring up my trusty Visual Studio. And obviously I'm gonna go file new project. And what I'm gonna do here is I'm gonna create a new iPhone application. Now, iPhone development's always a pain. Love or hate Apple, the only way that you can compile this thing is on a Mac, right? So that's why this thing over here, I don't try to touch it very much, but that's why this is here. Okay. Because I have to have it so that I can actually compile my application on the Mac. Another pain point was to actually run the application, to simulate it, you had to touch the Mac, right? So this partnership, I didn't like it because it was too much of a loud partner. I want my Mac to be a silent partner. I want it to sit there, be quiet, and do what I tell it to do. But it wants to be involved in all the conversations and talking. But we've done some really cool stuff when it comes to this. So what I'm going to do first is I'm going to go ahead and simulate this on something a little easier and faster for me to play with. And I'm going to basically go and say, let's create a storyboard. The storyboard is a way for me to visually represent what it is that I want my application to look like and to do. Now, imagine Windows Forms. If you've done Windows Form development before, you have a form, you drag on controls, and then you're able to interact with those controls. You get to use the technology, the knowledge that you already know, and then apply that to mobile development. You don't have to learn something new. So let's just go over to the toolbox, and let's just grab a label. And let's just drag that label onto the screen here. And then what I'm going to do is I'm simply going to resize it, and I'm going to give it a name so that I can access it. So I'll call it My Text. And then more fun than that, let's go ahead and add a map. And then what I'm going to do here is I'm going to drag this guy here. And I'm going to scale it up a little bit. And now it's time for me to start doing some coding. And this is when it becomes really, really powerful that we're using Visual Studio. All the cool features that Scott Hunter just showed you that's coming in C#, that will be available to you when you're doing mobile development as well. I don't have the preview bits, but I will show you some cool stuff here as well. So first thing we want to do is we want to wire up. I think I forgot something here. Let me go ahead and name this guy too, so I can access him from the code behind as well. So let me go back to my code behind, and I'm basically going to say my map. As you can see, normal code completion. I also have all of my IntelliSense as well. Thank you. And what I'm going to do here is simply wire up a very simple callback, right? So I have my delicate set up. I hate typing when I'm on stage, right? I'm the worst at it. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm just going to cheat here and use a snippet. So all the power of Visual Studio, snippets, breakpoints, the whole nine yards are available to you. So all I should have to do now is say I would like to run this on the simulator. And in the past, the Mac would say, oh, it's my turn to play. Now you have to come to me, and you have to use my screen, which is not touch-enabled. How does Mac still not have touch screens? I have no idea how that happens, but it's 2016, guys. Give me a touch screen. All right, enough about that. I have a touch screen on my PC, and I'd love to be able to use that when I'm interacting with my app, because that's how I would interact with my app, right? I would touch the screen, and I would draw things around. So what we've been able to do is bring the iOS device to a Windows phone, right? This is unprecedented. Never before have we actually had a iOS device being simulated on a Windows machine. I never have to touch this thing anymore. All I have to do is come over here, and I can use my finger to actually drag across the screen like I normally would. Yes, you can go ahead and clap for that. I'm using normal pinch gestures, and I'm kind of zooming in here. I'm kind of partial to Germany because I was actually born in Frankfurt. So right there is where I was born, and as you can see, it's changing the longitude there. The at value is changing because of my events. Now, it wouldn't be Visual Studio unless we could do some really cool debugging, which is where most compilers actually earn their money. So I'm going to set a breakpoint here. And then what I'm going to do is I'm simply going to swipe it again, and lo and behold, I'm going to hit my breakpoint. Now, that's great and all, but watch this. I'll be able to come over here for my center, and I will be able to see things like data tips. I'll be able to pin those data tips directly into my code. And then I can come over here and even put notes. So it's all the power that you know and love about Visual Studio making you a grade A mobile developer. So this has made me excited about mobile development. Because before I wasn't, but now Xamarin has made it fun. It's made learning fun. It's made development fun. And I'm going to show you ways where they've even made testing fun as well. Okay? Great. So let's get out of here. Thank you, Visual Studio. Let me get back over into my slides here. So that's mobile development. Test everywhere. We mentioned some of the challenges of mobile development, one of which is all the devices that you need to have. And I'm going to show you ways that you'll be able to test on that Windows phone that you just don't happen to own, that iOS device that just came out that you just don't happen to have time to go purchase, or there's a waiting list. We can actually start testing on those immediately because of some of the partners that we have here. One of them I'm going to talk about here in just a second. So one of the guys I want to talk about, too, is our friends at Perfecto Mobile. They actually have some very unique things about their offering that are different from the offerings that we have in our Xamarin Test Cloud, and I want to point those out so that you can actually see it. So one of them is they support Windows phones. Clap for that. It's like the world forgets that there's three phone manufacturers. There's actually three, iOS, Android, and yes, us, we produce phones. So I love the fact that they allow us to support Windows phones. And now this isn't a simulator or an emulator, guys. This is a physical device. I was very honored that they flew me up to Boston and let me see one of their data centers. It looks like any other data center you've ever seen, just racks and racks and racks. But when you get close to the racks, there's no computers in there. They're just iPhones and iPads all over the place. And they're sitting, and I was really fortunate, I actually got to see one like light up and start moving around because someone happened to be running a test on the exact phone that I was watching at the moment. So these are physical devices that you're able to work upon. These are actual physical devices. Yes, racks and racks of them, right? They even have their own GPS. They have their own cell networks. So even inside of this data center, which is normally horrible reception and no GPS, they give you all of that in their data centers. And they're all over the world. It's amazing. So I was very, very honored that they let me come and see their infrastructure there. So no, this is an actual phone sitting somewhere in the world that I'm actually on. And if I do things on it, it actually responds to me. Now, one of the things I like about this is that this basically is going to enable me to do exploratory testing. Exploratory testing is where a user simply tries to break your application. It is. It's a fantastic way to find bugs. They put letters where numbers are supposed to go, numbers where letters are supposed to go. They literally try to break the application. And it's a great way to find new bugs. And what we've done is we've actually partnered with them so that you can actually use our testing framework to actually do that. So if we come over here and look around, I can start putting notes. This is a demo. I can type. See, this is why I don't like typing on stage, because I'm not very good at it. And then I can go back in and I can just start using the application. I can do screenshots, for example. I can say, I really like Cortana. I can take a screenshot. If I want to, I can add some annotation to this screenshot. I can go back in and save this. And then because this is actually tied in to Visual Studio Team Services, which means all the information that I'm collecting can effortlessly flow in there as one of three things, a bug, or maybe a test case, or maybe a task that I want to go back off and create. So here, I can create a test case, I can create a task, or I could create a bug. So as I'm using the app, if I find something that's wrong, I can immediately share that information with my development team. They'll see the screen captures that I made, all the notes that I took of a real physical device being used to test my application. So this is revolutionizing the way that we do testing. Now you have options here, and I'm going to show you another one, right? So this is great for manual testing, this is fantastic for Windows development, and this is also integrates with our build system. So if you want to run these tests that you generate every single time you do a build, we can do that from Visual Studio Team Services and Team Foundation Server for you, right? So again, Perfecto Mobile, a fantastic partner of ours, and you have options when it comes to mobile development. Test Cloud versus Perfecto, Cordova versus Xamarin. Guess what? All the options are right. Because every one of those options still work with Visual Studio Team Services and Team Foundation Server. There are no wrong answers here. All right, so that's all I wanted to show you about our mobile development from our testing perspective. So now what we're going to do, talk about test automation. Manual testing is something that I believe will exist forever. If there is a user interface, chances are I want a human being to look at it. For example, when you localize different words, a word in one language could be drastically different length in another language. And it's hard for a computer to tell me, did I resize the menu correctly? Did I resize the button correctly? Was it still legible for the end user? Computers aren't good at that. They'll tell me that you translated it correctly, but did it look good? That's where manual testers come in. But if we only did manual testers, how agile would we be? Not very. Manual testing takes a long time. What we want to do is automate as much as we possibly can. If it can be automated, chances are it should be automated. And what we're going to do here is teach you how we're able to automate the test creation, right? The automation that has to be done, that can be very painful. You can have to learn a different language, right? Because every automation framework has its own language. You have to be able to code that yourself. So a lot of testers aren't coders, so sometimes they get intimidated by the fact that there's code involved. It'd be a lot nicer if I could just record what I'm doing by using the application. And again, Xamarin takes what we think and they turn it into real working software. So what I'm gonna do is actually switch over to, believe it or not, a Mac, just to prove that we are, what is it, any language, any platform. That's what we keep promising, and I'm gonna prove it to you here by switching over to a Mac. Let's see if this pops up for me. There we go. All right, so this is the Xamarin Test Recorder. It allows you to create automated tests either using a physical device. I could literally tether a physical device to my Mac and use that device, and it would capture everything that I do. But for this demo, I'm using an Android emulator. So everything that I do in the simulator will actually be captured. So let's go over here and just say start recording. And now it's going to record every action that I do in my code over here. So if you see, if I click around, it'll actually recognize where I clicked. If I start to type in here, it'll actually capture what I type as well. And it's generating the code for you on the right-hand side. So do I have to be a developer? No. But code is being generated. Why are we generating code? Because I want to put that code in source control and make it part of my continuous integration and my continuous delivery pipeline. Correct? Good. All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to show you what does it look like if I take this code and I start wanting to run it against thousands of physical devices using the test cloud. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to hop over to Xamarin Test Cloud. So after I've recorded it in the Xamarin Test Recorder, where do I go to run it? You run it in our test cloud. Very similar to the Perfecto Mobile Test Cloud, right? Very similar concepts here. They just have a different user interface, and they have some different concepts as well. When I want to test my app, I need to know, for example, I want to know which are the most popular ones. And I only care about phones. And I think I want to do the top 10 phones. So just that easily, I've been able to select the top 10 phones in the world that can actually run my application. And then what I'm going to do, that's good. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and say, please go run those for me. The Xamarin Test Cloud is taking the test that we generated, the code that it's supposed to test, and uploading it to the cloud. It's then provisioning all the devices I asked for, installing my app on those devices, and then going back and executing my test for me. Now, the true power of this is when you go back in and you start looking at a previous test run. This test run is quite interesting. First reason why is because a test failed. And that's when a test really shows its value. When it fails, it's protecting you. Right? People get upset when tests fail, but that's actually a good thing. You'd rather your test fail than your user have a bad experience. Tests are your safety net. Okay? Think of them that way. Don't think of them as, oh, they're going to slow me down. They're actually going to speed you up. Because trust me, I'd rather fix this bug now than when my boss is over my shoulder upset with me because thousands of users are now having an error. Tests are good. Okay. So now how can we go back in and look at this? So for example, if I look at the history test, it actually shows me every device upon which I ran that test. And then there are several different actions I took. And as I click through these actions, you'll see the screens updating to reflect exactly what was happening on each individual device. Now, what's really interesting is when I get here, it identified that, hey, one of these devices is not at the right spot. Something bad has happened. So I want to make sure that you pay attention to this. And what I can actually do here is I can drill in closer to this particular device. I can actually see the device screen and see what's going on. Now, an image is good. But a video would be much better. So what I can do is I can click here, click on playback, and then click on play. You are now watching a video of that application actually being tested. All right. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and pause this video. And I want to show you some other cool information that I have available to you. One of them is the memory usage, the CPU usage. Maybe that's what actually led to the crash. Maybe I spiked the CPU. Maybe I spiked memory. And I can actually know exactly what step caused that and go do some more information on it. Maybe I need to know the details of this particular device. Maybe this device itself is an unsupported device. Maybe it doesn't have the right amount of memory. Maybe it's an unsupported screen resolution. I can actually get the details of the physical device upon which I ran my code to make sure that I know, or if I want to go run a manual test, which device do I need to go get out of that test cloud so I can manually try to duplicate this particular problem. But you probably don't have to duplicate it manually because we capture all this information for your device logs. We capture all this information for your test logs. So we have so much low-level information at your fingertips that you can actually figure out exactly what went wrong from this automation and then go back in and actually fix it. So again, creating the automation, we've made that as easy as we possibly can. Literally just use your app. I don't know if we can make it any easier than just use the app and we'll figure out all the rest for you to duplicate it for you. And then whenever you want to run it, just upload it to us and we'll run it for you. I can also run these as part of my continuous integration and my continuous deployment pipeline, right? So this isn't a, every time I want to run these, I have to manually go run these. These are, every time I make a change to my code, I want you to go run all of these for me against thousands of devices and verify that I have confidence when I go ahead and push this out into production. Okay, so I can hop back now. I'm actually going to go back and forth between devices, unfortunately, but I think it takes about 10 seconds for these to swap over. And while that's happening, let's talk now about mobile DevOps. This is what I'm really here to talk to you about. I actually have DevOps in my title, which is kind of weird, right? 10 years ago, we didn't even know what DevOps was, and now it's actually in people's title. But it's something that we've been trying to do forever. We just didn't have a fancy name for it. Everybody who wants to write software wants to get that value to their customers as quickly as they possibly can. Period. I don't care if it's mobile, I don't care if it's web, a microservice, a fat client. The whole goal is to get the value to our customers as quickly as we can, because guess what? If you don't, your competition will. And then who used to be your customer is now their customer. And getting them back is extremely, extremely difficult. So what we're doing with Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services is enabling DevOps for any language targeting any platform. I'm going to repeat that. Any language targeting any platform. Yes, Scott was talking about .NET. .NET is wonderful. .NET, unfortunately, is not the only language in town. People are programming in Java. They're programming in Ruby, PHP. They're programming in tons of different languages. And all those languages deserve the same functionality that we give to everyone else. So no matter what version control you want to use, Git, GitHub, Subversion, or TFVC, we support you in doing that. If you want to program on a Mac, program on Linux, or program on Windows, guess what? We support that for you as well. It does not matter where you develop or where you intend to deploy your code. At Microsoft, we enable DevOps for everyone. Any language, any platform. Please, if you don't remember anything else but what I'm saying to you right now, please leave here understanding that Visual Studio Team Services and TFS works for whatever program you're working on right now. It is not a .NET-specific solution. Any language, any platform. And we give you everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software. Everything. And that's what makes us very, very unique. There is no other vendor on the planet that can say what I just said. We have everything that you need, including the cloud to run it in. You might have a good cloud vendor, but I bet you they don't have the best IDE in the world. You might have a good CI system, but I bet you they don't have a good deployment system. You might find a good deployment system, but they don't have some other integral piece that you need to be successful. At Microsoft, we have the agile planning that allows you to take the idea and store it, break it down, and track it. We give you source control, any flavor of source control that you want. You like Git? How many of you guys like Git? You're probably all under 40. I'm old. I hate Git. And I'm very public about it, right? I just don't like having to go to the command line to do anything. It just doesn't make sense to me. I did that decades ago. Why are you taking me back to this black console window to do my check-in and check-out? Is it Git? Is it push? Is it rebase? Is it? I just want to check out code, guys, right? But some of you guys love it. And we're not mad at you. We just basically support that, too. Wherever you want to store your source, do it. Also, continuous integration. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you right now. Again, I like to be really transparent. I want you to know that you can trust me. A lot of you are probably using Jenkins today. Yes. If I would have evaluated our build system against Jenkins a year ago, I would be using Jenkins today too. However, If I were to evaluate our build system today against any other CI system in the world, I would be using our CI system. It is simply that good. So I really want you guys to go back and rethink. It's not the XAML-based plus-plus. It's not the next version of that. It's a completely different piece of code. We completely rewrote it. Listening to the feedback that we got from you, what you loved about our competition, and brought that natively inside of our toolset. And if you're an MSDN subscriber, you already own it. Stop paying for stuff that you already own. If you have MSDN, you own all of what I'm pointing at right now. One of the beautiful things about mobile DevOps on Microsoft is there is nothing to install, there are no devices to buy, and there's no VMs to manage, because we manage it all for you. That's the beauty of the cloud. That's the beauty of what we offer here at Microsoft. So let me start taking you on a tour of some of this cool stuff that I'm talking about. Actually, I'll do it from the Mac, just to prove that any language, any platform. So we're going to hop back over to the Mac here. I'm going to close some screens while we're doing that. And what we're going to see here is basically a Kanban board. This is a way for you to visualize the movement of your idea from beginning to end. This is a highly customizable screen. If you're an Agile shop, you probably understand Agile development, short iterations. Kanban's a very popular Agile methodology, and people really like these boards for things like WIP limits. A WIP limit is a way for you to make sure things are getting done. I'm a certified Scrum Master. I'm a huge Agilist. I really, really like Agile. For 7 years, I helped customers come kicking and screaming out of the waterfall world into the Agile world. And I used TFS to do it. So I'm a big, big fan of that. But what I noticed was, and the reason that I like WIP limits, is I used to live and die by this chart called a burndown chart. It's the number of hours we agreed to complete at the beginning, and hopefully we burn it down to zero. A lot of my developers would get bored after 9 hours of working on the same task, and they'd leave an hour remaining. So if I looked at my burn down, we're burning down lots and lots of hours. But are we getting anything done? Not if every task at the end of the sprint still has an hour on it. You actually got nothing done. So what a WIP limit does is it says, okay, son, before you can have another piece of candy, finish the piece of candy in your mouth. That's what this is for your coders. Don't grab another task until you finish the task that you're working on. That way I know things are actually getting done and we're not just randomly burning down hours, right? So this is really powerful. You can actually control all this for yourself. You notice some of the cards are different colors? They're different colors because I have rules that say if it's blocked, I need you to make sure it stands out so that my developers go and address why it's blocked. If it's high priority, I need that to stand out because that one needs to move across the board as fast as possible. And what's nice is I can actually change these things directly on the board. So I don't have to load the entire ID or the entire item to actually see the changes that I make. However, if I go ahead and open this up so I can see a much closer look at it, get much more details, the effort, the information, and it's no longer blocked, I can simply remove this. And when I save and close, all my changes are updated immediately. We also support SignalR. So over here, if someone else on my team were updating this board, I would see the changes in real time. There's no more F5ing myself to death to make sure I have real data. As soon as the data changes, I see it on my board. All the customizations I just talked about are available to you directly from the UI. So there's nothing for you to have to download, nothing for you to remember how to configure the old TFS way of doing things. We've actually gotten a lot wiser, right? We let you do it directly here with no code changes whatsoever. Now, I talked about continuous integration. And continuous integration is the ability that every single time a developer checks in code, I want that code compiled, I want it tested, and then I want to make sure that it's actually good. I remember when we used to build every Friday. I coded all week long. I broke the build. What day did I break the build? I don't know. It's going to take me a long time to figure out what code change over an entire week broke the build. But if I check in code at 9 o'clock, and the build breaks at 9:02, I probably know it was me. I probably know what I was doing, and it's going to be like that quick for me to fix it. So that's what continuous integration gives you, the instant feedback that, hold on, we are either doing good or we just made a mistake. Let's go fix that immediately before we start getting what we call technical debt, right? Because that's what I had paid, was interest on technical debt by not knowing it sooner enough. Now, what you're seeing here is a very special build because this is clearly a build for a mobile application. And again, mobile has its own challenges. Versioning, licensing, tool sets, reliance or requirement for iOS, All those things make it more difficult. But what we've done here at Microsoft is we basically obfuscated all that from you. We have tasks that will do the versioning for you, tasks that will handle your licensing for you, the ability to run this on a Mac just as easy as we run it on Linux or on a PC. Our continuous integration system is completely new. Please do not let the old system sway you from looking at our new system. It's drastically better. Remember I said any language, any platform? I also want to show you here that we have all types of version control out of the box. I did not have to install a single plugin to see this value. If you go right now to visualstudio.com and open up a Visual Studio Team Services account, you will see all of this value immediately. We even have agents in the cloud ready to do your builds. There is literally nothing to install. If your source code is in GitHub, if it's in Bitbucket, if it's in TFVC, rgit, or Subversion, you can immediately start building that code without any installation whatsoever. Okay? So this is the power of our CI system today. Allows to run in multiple configurations, variables, and all that great stuff as well. We have some other sessions here. I think Raul's doing one. That's going to go much, much deeper into all the stuff that I'm showing you today, right? So I'm scratching the surface. He's going to give you a much deeper look at it. After you run the build, you get a build summary. This is one of the things that makes having a single solution do everything really starts to highlight. Could I actually have a different CI system, a different CD system, a different source control, a different work item tracking? Yes, you can do that. You now become responsible for making sure that they all talk to each other, but you could actually go build that. We call that the IKEA method. You get a box of tools, and you got to go figure out how to get the tools to get make up a bookcase or something. It never comes out the way. Swedish do not know how to write documentation. But when it comes from Visual Studio Team Services all at once, you get to see our associated work items, our changes from source control, our test results, even if they're run in the cloud for you against physical devices. You get to even see the code coverage results, which we can now do for Java as well as we do for .NET. Right? All languages are created equal. You want to use Jacoco, you want to run your JUnit test, guess what? We do it with no heavy lifting. You want to send your technical debt to SonarQube, guess what? You just check a box, and all your information starts going to SonarQube for you. And as you can see down at the bottom, we have deployments. Those deployments are tying into release management. Release management is hands down my favorite feature of Visual Studio Team Services. We acquired it the same time Microsoft acquired me. They recruited me to come join Microsoft, and so at the exact same time, they bought InRelease, right? The product that is now release management. And what's funny is that 7 years as a process consultant, that was the tool that I needed and that was missing. That's the one that I needed to make all my customers really, really happy. And the fact that it got acquired the same that I did, I thought it was kismet. Like, this is, I'm meant to love this tool. And I've been speaking on it all over the world ever since. So, as you can see here, I can jump directly over to that particular piece of code. And this is release management. Release management is it's like runners in a relay race, right? Source control hands the baton to build. Build then hands the baton to release management. And release management hands the baton to your production server. Right? We're running this race trying to get ourselves through the end. And this is what it's showing me. It's showing me that in release right now, in the actual final one, is version 25. And version 26 is making its way through alpha and beta testers. Right? So I can visually see very quickly where my code is, who has access to it, so that if I start getting crash results and things, I can actually see it. And if you look at the anatomy, so this is how I build a deployment. Guess what? It looks very similar to build, right? That's on purpose. We want you to immediately be familiar with it after spending time with our build system. We don't want you to have to relearn anything. We don't want you to have to learn a new language, a new interface, nothing. We just want you to look at it and say, yep, I know exactly what to do, because this is exactly what I did in build. Now, we did add two concepts. One concept is an environment, which is over here on the left-hand side. An environment is just a logical grouping of the tasks that I want to perform as I move my code from one environment to the next. Now, environment's kind of a strange word in this context. It has nothing to do with physical hardware. It has nothing to do with what you guys call your QA environment. You can do anything you want to any machines you want, and you get to control when it happens by creating what we call environments. Okay? Think of them more as stages of your deployment. That's more of a, free your mind. Don't think environment means physical machine. Think environment means stage of my deployment, at which point I can do whatever I want. Now, things that I can do is I put approvers. As you'll notice here, I have quite a few of them. So here I have a lot of different approvers for my particular environment. Now, what do approvers allow me to do? they allow me to control as code moves into an environment and out of an environment. If I want to make sure that no one gets code that's bad, I can put approvers there. And he can say, I know this code's no good. I do not approve this code, and the environment will be safe on the way in and also on the way out. Maybe after testing it, I realize it's no good. I'm the post-deployment approver, and I say this code is no good. The code stops in its tracks. So it's a really powerful concept there as well. You can do anything that you want on any languages you want. If I bring up the task list here, this gives you just some idea of what's possible in our build system, in our release system. One other thing I want to point out real quick, anything that you can do from a command line, anything we can do in our build system and we can do in our release system. Anything that you can reach from a REST API, we can reach from our build system and we can reach from our release system. So essentially I just said, anything that you want to reach anywhere is now accessible from our build system and from our release system. Show me a command line, show me a PowerShell, and I will show you how to execute it during our build and or our release, okay? Everything is within bounds. Now, I only have one more demo I wanted to show you. I'm not going to switch back to the slides. All I'm going to talk about is a thing called Hockey App. And it's the slides here, so I'm just going to go ahead and show you that here in just a second. One of the other challenges of mobile DevOps is distribution, right? How do I distribute the files, the application, to my end users? Web app's easy. Put it on the server. Everyone can access the URL. They all have instant access to my application. Even Windows forms, that's easy. Put it on a server, everyone downloads the MSI, they install it, they all have the latest version. Mobile, not so easy. You can't just download and add stuff to your phone. It has to be in a store, it has to be validated. There's so many rules and regulations about how do I get the application onto my phone. And how do I even alert people that there is a new version of the application that I want you to go get so that you can start testing it and giving me feedback? That is where Hockey App comes in. Hockey App is an acquisition that we made letting you know how seriously we take mobile DevOps. Xamarin is an acquisition that we made to let you know how seriously we are taking mobile DevOps. We are doubling down to make sure that you understand any language, any platform, including mobile. That means iOS, Android, Windows Phone, does not matter. So when I go over to Hockey App, what I get to see here is a dashboard of the application built by Visual Studio Team Services and uploaded to Hockey App. This allows all my testers to get a notification on their phone that there is a new version of the application that I want them to be testing. They can then go back in and download it instantly on their phone, bypassing stores, bypassing all the Google Plays and all that kind of stuff, and getting that new version directly onto their phone. We can track how many people use it, how many people downloaded it, how many crashes they're having. I can get crash analytics. I can see the stack trace. This has revolutionized the way that you deliver value to your end users when it comes to mobile. I'll show you one of the crashes and what it looks like when you come over here. So as you can see here, I can see how many downloads I've had, how many users I've been using this particular application. And I can also go back over here to a crash. And then from the crash here, I can actually click inside of here and start seeing the entire stack trace as well. In addition to that, this information effortlessly goes back inside Visual Studio Team Services, completing the loop of mobile DevOps for you. So all I want to say before I leave is that we're enabling DevOps for any language on any platform. There is nothing to install, there are no devices to purchase, and there's no VMs to manage because we do it for you here at Microsoft. Thank you so much for having me here in Peru. I hope to see you guys again. Thank you.